Hey friend, this is Nisha with SimpleSincha.com, and I have a message of encouragement for those of us who have been praying for a long time for a prodigal to come home. If you are new to me, my name is Sinchia, and I'm the writer at SimpleSincha.com, and we spread hope online one word at a time. So here's a message of hope. It comes straight from the Bible, and in one of the places that speaks about the prodigal son is Luke chapter 15, and that's where I'm going to base my podcast message today. So in Luke 15, verse 17, we see the prodigal son coming to his senses. So he says, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." So this is Luke chapter 15. This is the NIV. And I read from roughly verse 17 until verse 24. If you want to look it up later. So why am I speaking about the prodigal son? I'm not sure if, like me, you've been praying for somebody who, like the prodigal son, used to be in the father's house but decided to, you know, just turn his back and go and do his or her own thing. My experience is when I was born, my family was already praying for someone to get saved in my family, which was my grandfather. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I calculated that by the time I was born, I think my grandmother was praying for his salvation for decades. And then, of course, she had my mom and my aunt and my uncle, and they had another daughter who passed away. So they were all praying for a long time before I came around. So when I was little, we used to have family prayer meetings. And this was not like a religious or regimented thing. It was more organic. Like we often found ourselves praying. So my earliest memory of myself praying is with different family members. So in one of those instances, I remember my mom saying, "Hey, let's pray for grandpa that he will accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior." So we kids were like, "All right." So we would just pray. And you know, when you grow up and you start understanding who God is, who the Bible is, who Jesus is, his plan for humanity, and then you put that plus your prayer request together, and you're like, "Oh, I see what's happening." Also, I remember that my grandfather never went to church. We all went to church. He never went to church. Lovely individual. Loved him dearly. He always brought a smile to our faces, but he wasn't walking with the Lord. So we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and prayed for many years. Well, I came to the States when I was 18, and still my grandfather was not saved. Around that time, he got really sick. I remember going to his house to visit him. When I was done with high school, I would just swing by and see him sometimes. And while I was away in college, he moved to our house so my mom could take care of him. During that time, he started going to church. And I remember calling home one year and hearing that he got saved. And the joy that filled my heart is hard to express in words. It was as if fireworks were just filling me on the inside, because to go from praying for someone to accept the Lord for many decades without ceasing to seeing that he decided for himself, "Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I want to have him as the head of my life and, you know, my Lord," it was such a joy for all of us. My grandfather passed away shortly after that, and the hope that we have is that he's with God, and one day we'll see him again. But that is one of the first and many instances that I learned by observing that some prayer requests are not answered miraculously and quickly. There are others there are. I remember talking to a friend in high school. She was not saved at the time. I would invite people to church sometimes. I wasn't like bugging people to come to church with me because my friends were clear about their priorities for the weekend. They studied really hard from Monday through Friday. Weekends, people went to the beach, they went to the club, and I was at church, and they also knew what my priorities were. I was serving God, I was at church, and we love each other. We still maintain a friendship, and I would pray that God would save my friends, and I just kind of left at that. This was in Brazil. So I came to the States and I came to college and I got a message from a friend who told me, Cynthia, Jesus is my Lord. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And again, big rejoicing and the joy that filled my heart because this friend decided to give her life. Not only she did, but her husband did too, to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just very, very encouraging to see that. If you are tracking with the story of the prodigal son, you're probably thinking, well, your both of these examples that you had, like these people were not like saved and then they walked away and they came back. But I do know a lot of people who have, like in my years that I've been walking with Jesus, testimonies from friends, and we were in church for so long that we would see people come and go and they would tell us just like, well, I walked away. And we would pray for them with their relatives. You know, it was never a secret. When somebody left church, they were never discouraged. They were never made feel ashamed. We loved them. And we just prayed that they would come back. And when we saw them, which we often did, like we just love on them, say, hey, come back whenever you want to. We miss you. We love you. God bless you. It was one of those interactions. So that's how I grew up. Why am I thinking about prodigals? I still have people in my life that I want to see come to the Lord. I have friends that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior that I pray for them. And I pray that God in his sovereignty and in his brilliance will save them and that they will decide, like the prodigal son in the story, to come back to the Father's house. Here's how I get in trouble. I get in trouble when I start thinking specifically about how all of this is going to happen. The Bible does not say if the father was kind of trying to rationalize how this son was going to come back to him. And I'm kind of glad he doesn't because I don't know. I guess we're just not meant to know. But what I do know about myself is sometimes I pray about stuff and I think, I wonder how this is going to happen. I never did it with my grandfather because I was so little when we started praying about that. And I was the type of kid that I would pray with family or by myself. And then I just kind of move on and go do whatever I needed to do. Go to school, go to church, play with my cousins, play with my brothers and sisters. So I never spent a lot of time thinking about like, how is God going to do this? As an adult, I do have a tendency to do that. And part of it is humanity. And to be very honest with you today, it was a lack of faith. I was praying for somebody near and dear to my heart that I think walked away from the Lord. And I was just like, Lord, in your mercy, bring this person back to you. And I moved on with my life, drank my coffee, went to CrossFit. On my way to work, I started thinking about it again. And to be very honest with you, I was just like, I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I'm not sure if that's possible. So the thought that came to my mind, and I believe it was a God thought, was that the Father is still welcoming prodigals home. He still has his arms open, ready to welcome the prodigal son home. And that thought just gave me so much peace. And that's why I went to Luke and I said, let me read the story. Let me revisit this story because this is super amazing to me. You know, I find it very comforting. And you and I have heard a million sermons about the prodigal son, but today's experience was just so specially encouraging because it gives me hope that it is nothing really that I can do. Because if I could, as a 6-year-old, I'd probably be like, come on, grandpa, just raise your hand, just accept him. But it has to be a personal decision. It has to be a personal conviction. The prodigal son in the story here got back to his senses. I think that's the wording that this translation says. And he decided, I'm going to go back. So I do pray that the loved ones that I'm praying for will have the same reaction, will make the decision for themselves. I'm going back to my father's house because it is way better in there than what I'm experiencing now. I'm not for, and I've been in prayer meetings where people pray that the people become so miserable. And I don't believe I need to pray about that, because that's a fact of life away from the blessing of the Lord. Is just not a fullness of joy, a fullness of peace. The hope is not there. So to me, it's kind of helping the enemy to pray that the person's miserable, which is like the person probably is, you know? So I don't worry about that. I do pray that the person will get back to their senses and will make a decision to come back to the Father's house. I've always loved the picture that Luke paints of this father waiting, you know, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. To me, he says that he was looking for him. And I mean, he was looking hard, as in he probably knew he went to a faraway country, but he probably also knew that he was coming back. So when he was a long way off, the father saw him, and that vision of a son filled him with compassion. So he ran to his son. Can you imagine an old man running to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him? Probably didn't care that he probably smelled like pigs and sweat and yuckiness. He didn't care. That's his son. And I believe that that's how God welcomes us. Welcomes prodigals when we return to him, when we come to our senses and we return to him. So the son has this speech prepared. So he says, Father, I sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. To me, that speaks of true repentance. You know, is sin against heaven, is sin against the Father. And he's just like, I'm really not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, so there were other people around, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. So this very act is going to set him apart from no longer. He is a prodigal. He's a son. So a son has a robe, has the best robe. A son has a ring on his finger. A son has sandals on his feet. I have no doubt that the servants were super dedicated, so they made extra sure that the son looked like a son. And then the father says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. You know, I'm pretty sure that every day they were fattening this calf and they're just like, why are we doing this? You know, it's somebody's birthday. I thought the next birthday wasn't until 7 months from now. What's going on? That's the expectation of a miracle happening, a prodigal coming home. That's the way that I choose to see it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. I also believe that it's beautiful. And this is not the only place that talks about celebration and people coming to the Father and coming to the Lord. And I want to think more about the celebrations and the feasts other than entertaining my mind with doubt. How is this going to happen? Or thinking that somebody's too far away. I just finished reading Isaiah, and God says, you know, is my arm too short that cannot save? The answer is, of course not. You can do all things. There's nothing impossible for you. So he can save this person. He can save the prodigal that you're praying for. And then we finished with Luke 15:24. It says, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. That's what I want to focus my mind in. And I believe that that was my encouragement from God for myself. It was just like, hey, focus on the celebration. Focus on the Father. Don't focus on doubt. Don't focus on judgment and what ifs. There's no room for that. because the Father is preparing a feast. He's preparing a celebration. He has a fattened calf. He has a robe. He has a ring. He has sandals. He is ready to celebrate. He's ready to welcome. What a mighty God we serve, you know? I am humbled by a Father who loves this much. And I'm often reminded that if it wasn't for the grace of God, y'all would be praying for me to come back to the Father's arms. But thank God that I get to pray for someone. I know my parents prayed for my salvation, that I would understand the good news of Jesus Christ, that I would say, decide Jesus is mine and I want to follow him for the rest of my life. And now that I'm a Christian and I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I get to pray for others. I pray for my children. I pray for nieces and nephews. I pray for loved ones. I pray for friends. And oftentimes when people share with me, hey, I'm praying for this prodigal, I'm praying for a son, for a daughter, for a loved one, for a neighbor, I join right in. I have no problem. After today, thanks to the encouragement of God and his word, I'm joining in with the mindset of there's a father waiting for the prodigal son. And there's nothing that can stop that reunion. You know, in God's timing, prodigals will come back. And I pray for you. I know I can sense your heart. Sometimes it's been so long and it's been so difficult. Some of us carry burdens that are heavier than others. And God knows and he cares. And my prayer for you is that you will be strong, that you will look at the Father, that you will find your strength from him, that you will look at his word, that you will find encouragement that it might be impossible for you, but for God, all things are possible. He can bring prodigals back. I want to close with telling you that I was reading a book on Saturday. It brought me to tears. I thought the story of my grandfather was a interesting one as far as like, man, we pray for decades. I think my grandmother prayed for like at least 5 decades for his salvation. I thought that was hard until I read this particular book. So this lady accepted the Lord Jesus, surrendered her life to him, and she started praying for her mother, who was not interested in God until I think it was maybe 4 days before she died. She decided she wanted to give Jesus a try. I started crying the way that she told the story, because I'm reading this book and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not sure about this lady. You know, Lord have mercy. You see where my mind goes again, this doubt. But God saved her. Like, she decided, I want to hear about him. I want to know more about him. And this person was very critical in her thinking. Critical, not as a bad word, but it's just like she really broke stuff down. Like, she was very, just very meticulous about what she believed and what she wanted to do. So you could tell, and also her daughter had no reason to lie, right, to us, the readers. So it gave me a sense that I was just like, man, if I thought praying for 50 years was difficult, you know, I can't imagine. And God saved her. And this lady is able to say, my mother was a Christian. You know, it was 4 days before she went to heaven. I do pray that it won't take the person that you and I are praying for, that it won't take 4 days before they go to heaven. I pray that will be soon, because what a joy it is to see somebody surrender their lives to the Lord and to see them walking with Jesus and growing with him and just being part of the kingdom of God and telling others about the love of the Father. All right, so let's wrap this up and let me pray for you and pray for those prodigals. I will pray for the prodigals that you are praying for as well. So keep that person or those people in mind as we go to God in prayer. Father, you are so good and your mercy endures forever. I ask forgiveness for my sins because I'm not perfect. And your word says that if I confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for being my victory. I pray for my friends who are listening to me right now. I pray that you touch those hearts. Some of them are so hurt. Some of them are calloused. Some of them, like me, experience a level of doubt. And they're questioning, can God do this? And Father, I pray that faith will arise. I pray that you will do in them and for them, Lord Jesus, a renewal of their faith. As we heard the word about the prodigal son, Father, I just pray that they will get a glimpse of the Father looking and seeing the one that they're praying for and welcoming this prodigal into his arms. Father, I thank you that the celebration will be greater than the heartache. Thank you that when you say, hey, bring the robe, bring the ring, bring the sandals, that the joy that will fill our hearts will be greater than the grief right now. The devil is a liar. He's defeated. He's under our feet. And Jesus is victorious. So, Father, I believe that you will do the salvation work. I can do it. My friend cannot do it. But you can do it. There's nothing impossible for you. I pray with faith. And I know, Lord Jesus, that I'm going to hear testimonies of your faithfulness. Because many prodigals will come to you. It is your doing. It is not by might. It is not by power. But it is by the Spirit of the Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. Be encouraged. Bye.